understand.
Yeah, they should all countries and China.
Bonim is Ben Oni, that's why people put
Simcha. Binyamin, right? Simcha.
Simcha Bonim, because that's going to be Simcha Ben Oni. Can I ask a quick Ashkafa question?
Yeah.
What's a general Ashkafa? If someone owes you money, and they're not, they don't want to pay you back or whatever, at what point do you say that, is it the right thing to be Mavater and say, Abatron or whatever, at what point do you say that, no, Din is Din and he has a Chiyuv? And even if it means calling some machlekes or whatever, what point does that become the right thing to do?
Well, it depends. I mean, if Lamashal, it's going to cause him difficulty, that he doesn't have a lot of money, or it'll be a daichik for him, then lefnimishur said to him, it's kedai to be mavatir if you can.
There's no chiyuv inside you to be mavatir.
No, for sure. First of all, there's really no chiyuv, that's for sure. But even in Indian, you don't have to be mavatir. But if it's a hardship for him, you know, then mamele, you know, then you have the musik of viter.
So let's say you're working for a maesid, and it's not the maesid paying, just a matter of them organizing the funds and paying you for a job that you did.
Unless you want to give them stucca. If you want to give them stucca, also Mike said you can give them stucca. So in terms of Mavatra on your salary, there's no reason.
You know, the guy has kind of tinnitus on you and whatever.
Well, why should he have tinnitus? I mean, he has no right to have tinnitus. Yeah. He just wants. I've heard that shtick. Sometimes they do that. Maisa owes money. You know, Samaya or yeshiva. How could you be Tavaya?
Yeah.
It's not emes. The emes and it's a chilul Hashem for a maisa.
Very punctual here.
We're just having a small meeting. We're doing this in separate little.
For a maisa of Tyre, to not keep its commitments, it's really a chilul Hashem.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll wait a few more minutes.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'm here.
No, I know you're here. I saw more of you a few minutes.
In my ten kan, a couple kan.
I think tonight is the art set of the Rebbe Reb Zisha, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, that's where everybody is, okay. No, I understand.
I don't even know where to go.
A few days ago was the Yahrzeit of the Baal HaTanya, so that I would know where to go for that.
I didn't know where he was buried. I mean, your brother Melech was buried in the Sanskrit. I didn't even know where he lived, or Zisha.
Well, the city is Annapoli. I don't know where that is. Annapoli, you have social media Annapoli.
I have one question.
Yeah.
How does a person know how much shtadlus he has to do? Let's say parnasa.
It's a very good question. You know, there's really not all of the svarim. The Chaim Soloveitchik, Shaar B'Tochen, he says that if you do more hishtadlus than you need to, you will not get any hesafa. You know, all of that is wonderful, but the one answer you never really get b'diyuk is how much hishtadlus. But I would have to say two nikudas. One nekuda is the sight of the Chavis Alavavis. He says there's a catch-22, it's like a circle. The more emunah, the less ishtadlus. So if you're taka and maimin, then that's when you know buying a lottery ticket might be enough, you know, etc. Mm-hmm. But the other nekuda is that I think if the oil of ishtadlus does not leave you time to do mitzvahs and learn kiddaboy, that's a simon that it's too much ishtadlus. Now, even that is not a double borrow, because what do you mean? I mean, if I work an hour a day, that's taking away an hour from... I mean, by definition, hishtadlus is going to be some type of bittul. But the emes says, l'chol apachas, you have to be kaveya itim. Any hishtadlus which makes it not shayach to kaveya itim l'tayra, memela has to be too much. It's not yitachin if the Eibishter wants you to be mishtadl in such an item.
Are you supposed to look at it that your hishtadlus is bringing you the money?
Avada not. It's your shtadlus doesn't bring you the money. It's a tanai for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to open up the Shari Bracha. That's why you could be mishtadl in this area and your pranasa will come, you'll win the lottery.
And you can be a shtadl and see what we make money. It doesn't mean that you have to do more shtadlus.
No.
Because you'll just make money somewhere else.
That's right. The pranasa will come in makamacher.
Mm-hmm.
you know, you got to do something, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you parnasa, but it may have no shaychus to what you're doing.
So let's say that in my case, I'm learning in Kelim, and some Kelim pay, some Kelim don't pay. So my status now is going, I'm learning in Kelim.
Find a Kelim that pays.
Find a Kelim that pays. Right, so now I'm on a Kelim that doesn't pay,
yeah. And
I'm enjoying it, everything's going fine. Do I have a chiyuv to go find a different Kelim that's doing the same thing, let's say, that does pay? Why is I doing my shtadlus here? My shtadlus doesn't have to bring me the money.
Well, but the question is, what's the definition of shtadlus?
Shtadlus
has to be something that derech hateva brings the money. I mean, you're not going to say anything is shtadlus. I mean, staying in bed is my shtadlus. Yeah. But on the other hand, you know, if Yitaka don't have a dachkus and a need for parnasa, then good, if you're learning in a better, in a place that you like, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, until it's nachutz for you, you're not mechuyev to think so much about the future, oh, I'll need this and that and that and that. I mean, you know, you can say Baruch Hashem, yom yom. I mean, you don't have to make a long-term. Mm-hmm. Long-term. Why, are you in the Kail here, by your advisement?
No,
it's
nearby in Bishensky, the Kail.
Oh, that's right. What are they? They're doing Ketzim Baruch?
That's different.
Oh, that's a different one. Yeah, what are you doing?
Doing Shabbos.
Very good. Very nice.
Yeah, he intended to pay. Someone told him to open a Kelim, and he was going to fund it. This was this L. Over Sukkot, he called him that he lost his job. He can't fund it.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mitzvah Shiv, there should be a Yeshua. I don't want to scare you, but in Rav Aaron's time, there were times that they were behind 10 years in Kelim payments. Yeah. There are people who left Lakewood, and Rav Aaron gave the severance back 10 years back Kailo check.
Wow.
Hello, how are we doing? Okay, so maybe we'll start. So I don't know where everybody is, but okay. Yeah, I just wanted to be mindful of a few things. I'm a little ill today myself. I hope I'll be able to finish. But okay, I wanted to finish one more nekuda about teaching Torah to Goyim. Last week we were looking at teaching Torah to Goyim. And remember, there are two different Gemaras. One is an Isra Mitzad the Goy, and one is an Isra Mitzad the Jew that's Malamed the Goy. And these are two different Makairas. Mitzad the Goy, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Torah Tziva Lanu Maisha, Mayrasha Kehilas Yaakov, Al Tikri Mayrasha Ela Ma'orasa. That the Torah is like an Arusa to the Bnei Yisrael. Memela, a guy that's Bayal and Naira Hamuras, is Bayav Misa, because that's the din of Arayas. Then we have the memra of Ravami, Mesechus Chagiga, that Ein Maisrin Divrei Taira Liakum, Shanamar Magi Devorav Liakaiv, Chukav Mishpatav Liyisrael, Lai Osa Chain Lachol Goy. So how does that create an Isser? So Vice the Chais, we're supposed to be like the Avishter. The Avishter didn't do it l'chol goy, so we should do it l'chol goy. Now, I just want to just mention one thing. It's really, it's not something Megillah Maisa, but it's an interesting ha'ara of the two Eved. Taisus asks a very important kasha. Taisus asks a kasha, if it's already usher for a goy to learn Torah, then why do I need Ravami to say it's usher for me to teach the goy Torah? If it's usher for the goy to learn Torah, I'm not allowed to teach him, because I'm causing him to be Iver on the Isser of Naira Hamurasa. Memela meets CD, I'm Iver on Lifne Iver, like Sitin Mechel. This is Taisus' Kasha in Chagiga. So Taisus himself answers that the reason I need Ravami's separate halacha is in a case where even without me, the Goy could have learned. And if without me, the Goy could have learned, so it's not Lifnei Iver, because that's like the Nazir who's on the same side of the river as the wine. That's called Chadav Rizanara. So Lifnei Iver there isn't, but there's a special Isser for me to be Malamed. That is Taisus's Teretz in Chagiga. You know, again, we discussed last week the different Snifim, Teretz Shebichsav, Teretz Shehopeh, academic, whatever it is. But whatever is Usser, Taisus says you need two halachas. Now, what's interesting is this. I'm not sure if I said this last week. For various reasons, it's not so pashut why, the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim only brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin the Rambam does not bring the Gemara in Chagiga, meaning the Rambam brings the statement that a goy is not allowed to learn Torah, but the Rambam doesn't bring the miyuchadik adin that I, as a yid, am not allowed to teach Torah. Me'ezatam sheyiyah, therefore, the Rambam learns there's only an iser on the goy, and there's no iser on the Jew, except for lifnei iver le'sitin mikshah. So based on this, I want to say in my own horror, which would be a very big kula, that is, that I'm allowed to teach the goy anything that the goy could have learned without me. Because Tosfos says, if the goy could learn it without me, it's not a lifnei iver, it's only the special din of Rav Ami. But since the Rambam doesn't bring the special din of Rav Ami, it may stand to reason. So, therefore, this is a big kiddush. Because that's what I'm saying. Because the one core that everybody says you can't teach a goy is you can't teach a goy Gemara. But that's the core. With all the Haterim, except like the Shridei Eish, who allows academic presentations, you could even teach him Gemara, but not if he's learning it for religious worship. But Lanias Daiti, and again, I actually didn't see anybody say this, it would seem that if the Rambam does not bring the din of Rabbi Ami, it would appear that anything he could learn without me, I would be allowed to teach him. Now, given the proliferation of art scroll and all sorts of internet things, so Bederech Klal may not be the same quality, whatever it is, but Bederech Klal, there's no subject in Torah that the goy couldn't get on his own. So the Mela, it could be, according to the Rambam, it might be Mudra. Okay. Now, but I just want to share with you a Turei Yevon, which goes in a different model. Turei Yevon himself has a different teretz to Tosfos Iskasha. Again, what is Tosfos Iskasha? Tosfos Iskasha is, why does Rav Ami have to tell me there's an iser for a Jew to teach a goy Torah if we know there's an iser on a goy to learn Torah? So I, as a Jew, cannot teach him because I am causing him to transgress one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, so we have a problem of Lifnei Iver Loisitein Miksha. So Zakta Turei Yevon like this. It doesn't fit the Gemara that well. Turei Yevon says, here's the question. Why is a guy Chayav Misa if he learns Torah? Which of the Sheva Mitzvos has he been Iveran? So I would have thought that it's the Gzeres HaKosev, that it's Ke'en Arayas, it's Ke'en Nairam Rasa. But he says that's not Mistavra, it's not Nairam Rasa. So he says like this. He says, what the Gemara really means is, Vibal the Torah was given to Am Yisrael as a Miyuchadik Matana. A guy who learns Torah is Chayav Misa'al's Geza. So Zak the Turei Yevon, a tremendous Kiddush. If the Isser is Geza, it's only when he learns it without the permission of a Jew. If I teach him, I'm a Bailam on Torah.
Which Jew? Anyone?
The three of them done. Anyone. I'm a Bailam on Torah. So the Chayra, there's Bechlal, no. In other words, what's Taisis of Kasha? I can't teach the guy because of Lufnei Iber. Zakhi Tori Evan, if I teach the guy is not stealing. It's not Lufnei Iber. Elamai, it's a special Isserami. Now, if you go with the Tori Evan, then you even have a bigger kula. If the Rambam doesn't bring the Isser on a Jew, and the Rambam only has the Isser on a guy, it would turn out that Mitzidenu, like the Turei Yevon, there's no such Isser at all. Because as long as I'm teaching the guy, it'll be Lagavri Mutter. Now, the Kasha of the Turei Yevon is an interesting shaila, the Achrayim Ramphalpo, because the Chayra, the Torah is not your private property or my private property. The Torah belongs to Klal Yisrael. So that's the halacha. If we are shutfim in something, this is the din. If we are shutfim, can one shutif give rishus to a third party to be mishtamish with a chayfetz that's shayach to all of the shutfim? Right? If I own a car with you, right? Let's say we're shutfim in a car. So I can use the car, you can use the car. Do I have rishus as a shutif to lend out the car to people without your permission? And maybe even over your hakpada. But pashtus not. So this is a din they have in the Turei Yevon. Why is it so pashtus to the Turei Yevon that a single Jew as it were, could get rid of the Yisr Gezela by giving it to a guy. But okay, but I just wanted to tell you that that's interesting to read it. Okay.
Still, you still have both. Still good. I mean, both Yislav or
that's if you have both. Yeah, if you have both. But I was just being mayor that since the Rambam doesn't bring, so it's, in other words, if the Rambam would go with the Turei Evan and the Rambam doesn't bring the second din, it turns out there is no, literally no Isser when a Jew teaches a Goy Torah. Okay. But the final Nakuda here is the one I wanted to talk about is, so what do we do when people are getting ready for conversion? People are getting ready for Geiris. Whatever the issue is, I know last week we talked about all the different things, but I mean, are there things I can't teach a ger? Not a ger, I mean a goy that is preparing for conversion. Right? Maybe the whole issue doesn't apply, b'chiyai gavna, because that's a hachona for him becoming Jewish. So here, let me tell you a very interesting marsha in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Lamed Beis. This is the famous story of the goy that goes to Hillel, and the goy says to Hillel, first the Shammai, teach me the whole Torah al regel achas. And Shammai is Deicha, the guy, Biyamas Abinyan, he has a ruler of her building and kicks him out. He thinks the guy is making fun of the Torah. So he goes to Hillel, and Hillel gives the famous answer, my the son Ilach, what is hateful to you, right? L'chavrecha lo'isav, don't do to your friends. That's kind of the negative golden rule, don't do things to others that you wouldn't want them to do to you. But then the Gemara brings another, that's a famous one, but then the Gemara brings another Maisa, part of the same diem. There were three different Geirim who went to Hillel, that Shammai was Deicha. One of the Geirim went to Hillel, not Geirim, they're Goyim. Well, we'll see, that'll actually be part of the Shaila. Someone came to Hillel and said, Geireini Almanas She'eyeh Kayin Gadol, because the guy was reading, and he sees the Kayin Gadol has all sorts of honors and everything else, he says, I want to be a Kohen Gadol, be Megayrami. So state in the Gemara, Gaire, Hillel was Megayr him, right? Hillel was Megayr him. And then they started learning and they came to the Pasuk, Hazor HaKarev Yumas, that a Zor is Chayav Misa for doing the Aveda. And the Ger asked Hillel, what is a Zohar? What is the meaning of a stranger? And Hillel said, even if he's David, Melech Yisrael. So the Goy understood, or the Ger, and you'll see why I'm going back and forth, I'll be a Shaila. The person understood that no matter how chashiv you are, if you're not a Kohen, you cannot be the Kohen Gadol. So he was Makado. So Frek de Marsha Akasha like this. How was Hillel able to be Megayer a person? Remember, this was a mistake that was corrected after the Geirus. Because it says Gaire. Hillel was Megayer him, and then over time he taught him that this was a mistake. If a person says, I want to be Megayer l'shem Ishus, I want to be Megayer to get married, I want to be Megayer for a certain covet, I want to be Megayer because Jews have good Sholent and Shabbos. We're not Makabal, even if he says he's Makabal Mitzvahs, we're not Megayerim for that. So how could Hillel be Megayer a person who says, you know why I want to be Jewish? I want to be Jewish because I want the job of Kohen Gadol. That's not worse, or it's not better, than Megayer, L'shem, Ishus. So listen to what the Marsha says. The Marsha says, the Gevaldik Echidish, when the Gemara says, Gairei, Hillel was Megayer him, it doesn't mean Hillel was Megayer him, it means Hillel accepted him into his conversion classes. Hillel could, in other words, this is the text, Hillel could not have been Megayer him if he says he's doing it to be a Kohen Gadol. But if a candidate comes to me and has ulterior motives, but I feel that over time there could be a tikkun, so I'm allowed to be Makabal. In other words, even if somebody comes with Shem Ishus, if somebody says, I want to convert because I want to marry a Jewish woman, Avada, we're not allowed to be Megayer him, but I'm allowed to learn with him if I think there's a potential. So that's the Marsha's first Chiddush. The Marsha's first Chiddush is that Hagam, that the Gemara's Lashon is Gaire. But Gairei, and then he taught him, Gairei, Zakhtar Marsha, does not have to mean he converted him, in front of a Beis Din, but Gairen means he was makabel him to teach. But then the Marsha says, but Ei Bazai, there's a kasha on me. Because if the pshat is, when Hillel is teaching him, Hillel is teaching a goy, not a yid, so don't we have the problem that you're not allowed to teach a goy Torah, l'chol hapachos like Ravami. In other words, that's the problem. In other words, you have a problem either way. If the pshat was that he already was a Jew, how could Hillel be makabelim if it was to be a Kohen Gadol? If he was a goy, how could Hillel teach him? You can't teach a goy Torah. So zapta marsha, very important to marsha, that once you're makabel somebody for geiras, there is no iser to teach the person Torah. In other words, that all of these serm are referring to stomach goy. But once the goy has said he wants to become a yid, the marsha says beferish, there is no iser to be malamed to the person Torah. And in fact, many mefarshim say not only is there no iser, there's a chiyuv, because fakert, if the guy does not learn the Torah before his geiras, then as soon as he becomes a Jew, he'll be over kama v'kama averos, because he's not going to know what to do. And you're over on lifnei iver to put him in a massive of a Jew that doesn't know enough to keep the Torah. So the marsha is a very good makor. This is marsha Maseches Shabbos.
So he gets it from the story.
Well, he doesn't get it from the story because the story itself implies the other way. He gets it from his interpretation of the story. The story literally does not say Hillel was teaching a non-Jew. Right. But the Marsha interprets the story to say Hillel was teaching a non-Jew. Now, the emphasis is, so this is a very important Marsha, right? The Marsha says, La Halacha, although the Marsha is not a safer halacha per se, but the Marsha says La Halacha, a candidate that is makubal for Gior,
well,
you'll see, I'm going to give you another shita. This is what the Marsha says, a candidate some cool for Gior, there's no issue of teaching him Torah. Okay. Now, there's a Tshuvas Rebbe Akiva Eiger. Tshuvas Rebbe Akiva Eiger, who brings the Marsha and his chaylik in the Marsha. And this was the Shaila Rebbe Akiva Eiger dealt with. Rebbe Akiva Eiger got a Shaila from Poland. Rebbe Akiva Eiger himself, it's interesting, you know, Rebbe Akiva Eiger we think of such a Litvish Gadol, but Rebbe Akiva Eiger was not Litvish Gadol. Rebbe Akiva Eiger was German. Rebbe Akiva Eiger was a German, a Yekirev. Well, it goes back and forth, but Posen was in Germany. Rebbe Akiva Eiger had the following Shaila. A guy in Poland, a Catholic in Poland, very much wanted to become Jewish. But in Poland at the time, it was not only against the law to become Jewish or to be makabel as somebody as a Jew, but the person would be burnt at the stake. As you know, the Ger Tzedek of Vilna was a Polish Catholic who converted, and he died. And he was a very, very influential, wealthy family in Poland. And in fact, because of the family connections, they got a deal that if he would just keep Yiddishkeit privately and not publicly, they would spare him. Which normally, if you weren't that rich, you couldn't get such a deal. But he refused, and he died on Kiddush Hashem on the second day of Shavuos, and his ashes were he was cremated, and his ashes are buried right next to the Vilna Gaon, right in the Ger Tzedek Vilna, Ad Hayom Hazeh. They say for over 100 years after his death, there was a beautiful tree that grew up right over the kever. For some reason, the tree died. And somebody, I'm not sure. There's a story about
the Holocaust. Whenever troubles would come, something the tree would happen. Then the Holocaust would crash.
Yeah. In fact, they say Ad Kidei Kach. They say an amazing thing. They say Shlomo Zalman brings a Messiah from the old Yerushalmis. That they say that all of these halachas of the Tila Shadayim for Ruach Ra, to take off Ruach Ra, Kaychas of Tuma. So even though you have to follow them, they're in Shulchan Aruch. But there's a Messiah that you can be very, very mako. I mean, if there's any machlokas about anything, you could be absolutely mako, because in Emes there is no Ruach Ra Bisman Hazeh, because the Kiddush Hashem of the Ger Tzedek Mivilna was Meshaber and Mevatel the Kaiches Hara in the world. So even though you got to keep the halacha, but it's, you know, you keep it just to be Yetzei Zayin, There is no intrinsic inyan. This is what I say. This is a Messiah the Talmidei Agra had, I think, from the Gra. Because the Gra was still alive. This is the Ger Tzedek Mivilna. So Rabbi Kiveger dealt with a similar shaila where this person wants you to be Megayer, but they wouldn't do the Geiris in Poland. They wouldn't do it. So the person said he'll go to Amsterdam where he could do a conversion. He'll go to Amsterdam, to the Amsterdam based in, but he wanted Pailasher Rabbanim to learn with him, teach him enough Torah, so he'll be Muchan for the Geiris. So the Gedalim in Poland asked Rabbi Kiveger Rishayla, are we allowed to be metapel with this guy and teach him Torah? So Rabbi Kiveger said, can't teach him. Right? It says, Rabbi Yechanan said, that Akam Sha'asak B'Torah, Chayav Misa, Yerayver on Lifnei Iver, and even though he's a candidate for conversion, and he brings the Marsha in Yevamais, Marsha in Shabbos, that says if somebody's a candidate for conversion, you can teach him Torah. Rabbi Kiveger says it's muchrach from Taisvas that Taisvas in Shabbos is chaylait on the Marsha. Because Taisvas himself asks the Marsha's kasha and gives a different teretz. What was the Marsha's kasha? The Marsha's kasha is that if you read the Gemara that Hillel converted the guy and then taught the guy, how could Hillel be Megayer? A person who wants to be a Kayin Gadol, that's an insincere Geiris. So the Marsha learns, Mikayach that Kasha, that Gairei just means he accepted him for conversion, and he taught him Torah afterwards, and that's how the Marsha knows the din, you can teach a candidate for Gir Torah. Taisa says no! Taisa says, and this has a very strong implication for today, the other way, Taisa says, Hillel was Megayer the guy. How could you be Megayer the guy if he's doing it to be a Kohen Gadol? Because Hillel knew that it's Sofo Lios L'Shem Shemayim. Now that itself, Taisus itself, is a tremendous Kiddush, because Taisus says, in other words, I could be Megayer a person that has improper motives if I am Batuach. Now of course you could say, who could ever be Batuach? You can understand a lot of people are makel in this thing. But in theory, Taisa says, if I am Batuach, that he will be L'Shem Shemayim, I could be Megayer. Now that's a very big Kiddush in and of itself. That could be, okay, all sorts of things like the Russians and everything else. But putting that Kiddush aside, Rabbi Kiveger says, why didn't Taisus give the Teretz of the Marsha that Gairei means he was Makabelim for Gir? So Rabbi Kiveger wants to say, because Taisus would hold, you're not allowed to teach a guy Torah. So Mele Rabbi Kiveger actually learns, not like the Marsha, but Rabbi Kiveger is very problematical. So according to Rabbi Kiveger, what are you supposed to do? So the emphasis is, Rabbi Kiveger would say, he doesn't speak it out, there are a lot of things you could teach a guy. In other words, if you could teach a guy basic halacha, now the Rabbi Kiveger says, candidate for Geiris and Goy are the same. So whatever I can teach a Goy, if I can teach a Goy basic halacha, I can teach a candidate for Geir basic halacha. But there's no exception for a Geir. Now, so we have Marsha, we have Rabbi Kiveger, but let me just point out that Rav Meisha has a tshuva. Rav Meisha Feinstein has a tshuva.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
So why was this answer to the people in Poland? You can't teach them, you can.
Well, he just meant to say that we don't paskin like the Marsha. So you then have to Rukiveger's tshuva does not discuss what you're allowed to teach a guy. He just says whatever you can. As they were really asking, is there an exception for a candidate for conversion? Rabbi Kiveger says there is no exception.
What to teach in Gemara?
So then you'd have another shaila. So what? In other words, Rabbi Kiveger says a candidate for conversion is not allowed to learn anything that a goy is not allowed to learn. So then, now Rabbi Kiveger himself does not address what can I teach a goy. So on that, I'm saying, we would bring in the other psukim. I don't know what Rabbi Kiveger would even say in that about halacha versus gemara, etc. But I want to point out that Rav Meisha has a tshuva. what he says is not mashman Rebbe Kiveger at all, but he says Rebbe Kiveger can't mean what it seems, because Avada, a candidate for Gior, has to be able to learn everything to be able to be a Jew. So he wants to learn like this. He wants to learn that Rebbe Kiveger's reluctance was due to the fact that we really can't consider the guy a candidate for Gior yet, because in Poland, the Basin will not be able to convert him. He will have to go to Amsterdam. But who says he'll be able to get to Amsterdam? And who says the Amsterdam Basin will be Mekabel? Meaning, Ramesha says, if the pshat would be, we were Mekabel, a guy for Gior, and we could actively guarantee that if he's Roy, we will be Megayer him. So he wants to say Rebbe Kiveger would be Moda to the Marsha. But in that particular case, Rebbe Moshe felt it's not a Dover Borer that the person will be Makobo for Geirus. You know, it wasn't so easy to travel. And especially if the Polish government hears that he's going to Amsterdam for a conversion, you know, they're going to stop him. Of course, according to that, but again, I say, Rebbe Moshe's interpretation, I think, is very, very schwer, because if that's so, why is Rebbe Kiveger Marich to say that he's cholek on the Marsha? I mean, according to Rebbe Moshe, he's mited to the Marsha, but this was a different Metzias. I mean, it's Masha Rebbe Kiveger is saying is cholek on the Marsha. But be it as it may, la halacha l'maisa, we tend to follow the Marsha. That's what Rebbe Moshe says, basically. And we do permit any type of teaching to a candidate for Gior. And that is why, let's take Or Sameach. Let's see what we do here. Right? What we do here is, if somebody is undergoing a process of conversion, they can go to any shir. Not only halacha, they go to Gemara shiurim and the like. This would be Al Pi the Marsha. And according to Rebbe Moshe, Rebbe Kiveger's molded to that. But like the Pashas of Rebbe Kiveger, that actually would not be allowed. I could maybe teach him basic halacha, but I would not be allowed to learn Gemara with him, right? So you see that there is a machlokas about this particular inyan.
How do you think you have the problem that once it becomes, if you don't teach him enough, then once it becomes a ger, he might...
I mean, how would Rebbe Kiveger deal with the problem?
Even us, in other words, even the Ramesha also, if you don't teach him this much, how much do you teach him before it becomes a ger? In order should be able once it becomes a Jew.
Well, that's always going to be a problem. I mean, it's Engel Dover Sof. I mean, you certainly don't have to teach Bichlal. You don't have to teach somebody Dalit Chalke Shulchan Aruch before a person becomes a ger. I mean, you have to be Meshayer. Like, what does a Jew need to know not to be over on Averus from day one? So obviously, Tefillah, Brachos. But even tefillah doesn't mean every halacha in the Mishnah Berurah on Hilchos Tefillah, but a person knows how to daven, how to say Kriya Shema, how to put on tefillin, how to keep kosher, and the basic laws of Shabbos that he's likely to be nichshal in if he didn't know. Yeah, you have to be mishayer exactly how much. You know, the London, it's interesting that...
How can we just begin? Those hurry words, I think that's what you're just saying. It's in a shir setting? So the Rav giving a shir is being geared towards the Jews.
That's another hedger. Right. But the MS is, we set up a guy with the chavrusa too. Right? In other words, let's say he's a guy that's in a shir. Okay, so the shir itself, you have a hedger, I'm talking to everybody. Right. Then, afternoon seder, he chazers the shir with the chavrusa. Right. What's the hedger of the chavrusa? I'm teaching a guy Gemara. So you have to say that we're samich on the marsha. In such an ifa. Okay. So let me just mention now, Meinyan, I want to talk about a related shiloh, which will then bring me to a whole new subject, and that's Tevilas Kalim. And there's a fascinating, you know, we know that there is a mitzvah in the Torah, a Doraisa. We learn it out of the Milchama of Midian, right? The last Milchama of Moshe Rabbeinu's life was the war against the Midianim. And then Moshe Rabbeinu died right after that war. So it mentions that all of the utensils of cooking, first of all, Mechanas Midyan is important for a lot of things. It is the makor of kashering, that kalim that were balea treif have to be kashered in different ways. So if it was balea through liquid, we kasher by hagala, by hot liquids. If it is balea by fire, like a spit, like a shvud, a barbecue grill, So you've got to kasher it by fire, by liban. But then, in addition, it says you have to be taiva. And the emesis Chazal say that's not even totally on the kli being treif, but rather the yisayda dvarim is anything that is called a clay seuda. A clay seuda means utensils that you either eat with, like plates, forks, knives, or utensils that you cook food with, like pots. If they are made of metal, d'oraisa, or if they are made of glass, midrabanan, you are mechuyev when it goes from the rishus of a goy to the rishus of Yisrael, you are mechuyev to be taivel them in a mikvah.
D'oraisa.
Well, glass is drabanan, but if it's mateches, it is d'oraisa. But we do make a bracha on glass, but because on the drabanan you make a bracha on glass. Now remember, it's only metal or glass. Metal minatora, glass midrabanan, plastic, no tefillah, wood, no tefillah, cheres, no tefillah, unless it's glazed. Now a lot of pottery has a glass glaze on it. For a glass glaze, or china for that matter, you're tefillah without a bracha. Pure glass, you'd make a bracha, a glass glaze, because since the ikar is cheres, you don't make a bracha. Now, there are two nekudas you need to know. Well, there are many nekudas, but I just want to talk about yisaitis. Obviously, we can talk about all sorts of appliances. But I just want to mention that the mechayev of tefillah is, it is going from the rishus of a goy, the ownership of a goy, to the ownership of a yid. Meaning, kol zman it is owned by a goy, there is no chiyav of tefillah. So, for example, if I borrow, assuming there's no kashrus problem, let's assume that I'm very thirsty, and I go to my goyish neighbor, and I want to borrow a glass, in order to drink water, or I'm in the person's house, he gives me a glass to drink water, there is no chiyav of tefillah, because tefillah is only if a yid is kaina from a goy. Calls a man, it's the guys, there actually is no chiyav of tefillah. Now that's important because we'll see that one of the heterim that Paiskim sometimes give, if it's not shaykh for you to be taivel, is your makna the kli back to the guy. And if it belongs to a guy, I don't have to be taivel. I only have to be taivel when I'm kaina from a guy. So Mimela, what's nogeya for geirus, I'm going to go into tefillas kalim, a few other nekudas that are nogeya for people in kiruv. But there's a very interesting shaila like this. There's a very interesting shaila. If a goy is megayer, is a goy mechuyev to be tovel his kelim. Now the pashtus is yeah, because before the geiris, the pots and pans were owned by a goy. After the geiris, the pots and pans are owned by a Jew. But there was no havara mirshus lishus. So some paiskim, it's a miyata paiskim. A miyata paiskim are actually meka, and they say, you don't have to be taivel, because even though there was a shinoi in the gavra went from being a Jew to being a goy to being a Jew, but this is not a shinoi mirshus lishus, and there's no chayvas tefillah. Actually, it's interesting who's making on this. This is found in a very, very unlikely place. This is found. I mean, other price can bring it up later. But the first one who says such a kula in the Shein Mishmuel, which is a Hasidish Sefer on Chumash, he brings it in the name of his father, who was the Avnei Nezer. And he says his father, Paskin, Lahalacha, Lemaisa, that a geiris is not mechayev. It said in Parshas Matas, a geiris is not mechayev a tefilas kelim, because there was no havar meshus l'shus. In fact, he even says it beruchnius. He says the svara in ruchnius is that when you are megayer, all of your kelim undergo a geiris with you. In other words, you don't need to be taiva. It's like your chalais geiris is a chalais geiris on the kedusha of the kelim, and he brings it again, you should know the Avnei Nezer. I'm sure you do know the Avnei Nezer was considered to be a very, very authoritative gain and paisek in halacha lemaisa. He wrote the Eglay Tal in Hilchos Shabbos, and the Avnei Nezer itself has many tshuvas in Hilchos Shabbos. These are hashlamas to the Eglay Tal. And you know, the Avnei Nezer, you know, was the Kutzker Rebbe's son-in-law. And he writes in the Hakdama to the Eglay Tal that his whole derech in learning he got from Meiri Vachami, says Hagayin Rav Menachem Mendel Mikutsk. So we think of the Kutzker Rebbe as Chassidisha. The Avnei Nezer says his whole derech of limud was from the Kutzker Rebbe. So this is amazing. In the middle of the Shem Mishmo, which is a sefer many people like to learn, it's a very beautiful Chassidish Sefer, he brings this Chiddush LaHalacha in the name of the Avnei Nezer. So do what? No, because he says, you don't have, when I buy Kalim from a guy, so I have to be Maila them L'Kedusha by being titled them. But he says, if a guy owns Kalim and the guy undergoes a Geiris, the Chalais Geiris on the guy is already a Geiris on the Kalim, so to speak. So the Kalim are Nisala. The rechush of the guy that's Megayer becomes Nis'ala with the Pa'ula of Geiris. And the Mela, he says, you don't have to have. But he says in Halacha, the concept would be you don't have a Shinei Rishus Mamish. La Halacha, just so you should know, La Halacha, we do paskin that the Ger should be Taival the Kalim. But many Paiskim say without a Bracha, precisely because the Avnei Nezer's Hakra may make it a suffix brachais lahakel in such an inyan. Okay, so that's one thing. Now a few more points about tefilas kelim. Again, I'm not going to give you a whole share on all of tefilas kelim because that's not our inyan so much. I do want to mention two klolim in tefilas kelim that almost sound like opposites. So when you first hear them, you think you know they're going in opposite directions, but they are not opposites. They are complementary. The first klal is that in order to be a kli suda, it has to be a kli that you're mishtamesh with something that's roi liachila or becomes roi liachila. So, a fork, a knife, a spoon, I'm using with edible food, and a pot that I cook meat or fish in, it makes the food roi liachila. Right? So something is a kli suda if it's I'm mishtamesh with food that is roi liachila, or I'm mishtamesh with food that makes it roi liachila. But kelim that you use only on inedible food that do not make the food roi liachila yet, there is no chayvas tevila. So an example would be poultry shears. You know those things you cut a chicken with, a raw chicken with. You know the scissors. Now that's metal. And you're using it with food, but you're using it with food at a time when the food is not royally achila, a poultry shear. So you don't have to be taivel, a poultry shear. Another example would be, I'm losing my English here. When you roll dough, what do they call it?
Roller, okay.
Now, most rollers are wood, so wood you're not taivel anyway. But sometimes a roller could be metal. So l'chayra, it's a metal roller that I'm rolling dough. Answer once again is, since it's connected to the food, only when the food is not ra'oi li'achila, so memela, there is no chiyuv to be taivel a roller. Right? So you have to be mishaya.
So butchers don't have to taivel their knives and all these things?
That's right. So if the butchers are only using it with raw meat, they don't have to be taivel their knives. Now,
it's subjective? Like, for your
you're ishtadlus, yeah.
Even if someone else, it theoretically could be used?
Well, it depends. It depends. If it's something that's normally used with food that's right like this, a regular kitchen knife, then you have to be taivel. But the butcher's knives tend to be bigger cleavers and things like that. Now, there's another clown, which sounds almost like it's the opposite, but not really. And that is, there is no chiyuv to be taivel if the kli is used with something that's already roi liachila. Now, well, one second, that sounds like the opposite. But let me give you an example of this. Rav Meisha has a famous tshuva on the issue of being Teivel a toaster. Now there's still a problem that people ask all the time. Do I have to be Teivel a toaster? Do I have to be Teivel a hot water urn? Because what is the problem with toasters and the like? Because the people are afraid. You get it wet, and then you plug it in, there'll be a short circuit, the whole thing will get destroyed, you may set the house on fire. Now the MSA, so people discuss, am I mechuyev to be Teivel a toaster?
Again? Back home, like,
didn't hear you.
They most ridicule it. Like,
they ridicule people who do it.
Yeah.
So let me tell you. So Lamaisa, there are many, many different psukim on this. Some paiskim say Yuvadai have to be Taivalit because it's a Kli Suda. You put bread in it, the bread is royally achila, etc. What about the danger? So they say, you know, it's not as dangerous as you think. Just don't use it for a very long time, meaning if you don't use it for a week and it gets dried out, it'll be okay. And I know this is the case, that it's dangerous if you do it, you know, right away. You've got to wait a long time. You can even use a hair dryer, to hot air, to dry it out and the like. So that is one shita. Other shitas say, they have a kula, that they tangle like this. Since these are appliances that only work when they are plugged into the wall outlet, and the wall is mechubra lekarka, so it doesn't have a shame kli. A kli is something talush.
Wow.
Anything that you're mishtamesh only be mechubra lekarka doesn't have a shame kli. Other paiskim give you asis, like be makne the toaster to a guy, so it's a keli shel akum, which doesn't need tefillah. That's another eitzah.
Yeah. To boil it, it fills a function even after it's mechubar, because it contains and holds that.
No, I understand, but they say, it's mishamish in makarka. In other words, for example, a kli that's mishamish with karka is not makabel tumah, right? Even a metal kli that is only used when it's connected to the ground is not makabel tumah.
So it has a shemesh even when it's not plugged in.
No, it has a even when it's not plugged in? What shemesh is
that? It holds not water.
No, but that's not the ikar. Well, I'm talking about a toaster. You're talking about hot water. That might be something else. Let's talk about a toaster. A toaster has no real shemesh. You don't use it to store bread. Now, for the technologically capable, which I think is relatively few of us, they suggest that if you undo the toaster, take it apart in such a way that only a bucky could put it together again, and you happen to be a bucky, so memela, you're mevatelet as a shame kli, and it now becomes a kli through a Yisrael. Right? But Rav Meisha has a zat shuva, which is a pretty amazing shuva. Rav Meisha holds, and here I have to say, most people don't follow this kula. Most people are more machmer. But Rav Meisha tainas, toasters and hot water urns don't need tefillah, because in order to be a kli suda, you either use it b'shas achila mamish, fork, knife, plate, or it is a kli that converts not roi to roi, like a pot. Now, Rav Moshe Tainas, the same way, if it's a kli that's dealing with something totally not roi, like a roller or a poultry scissors, there's no tefillah. He says the same thing is true the opposite way. If the food you put in it is already roi, water is already drinkable. Elamah, you're making it hot. Bread is already edible. Elamah, you're making it toast. So Rav Moshe Tainas, that's not a kli suda. Meaning, it would be a kli suda if you'd eat b'shas achila, if you're eating it. But if it's a cooking apparatus that is dealing with food that's already roi le'achila, Rav Moshe Tainas, you actually don't need to be teivel. That's a tremendous kula. So we actually have two opposite rules, in a sense. We have a rule that you don't have to be teivel kelim that touch food that's totally inedible, and you don't have to be teivel kelim that prepare food that is already totally edible. It's only when it's a kli that takes food that's not edible and it makes it edible is when it's called a kli suda that you're mechuyev in tefillah. Right, so according to Rav Moshe, he says hot water urns and toasters. Now, toaster oven would be a different nekuda, because a toaster, b'derech klal, you only use for bread. So for bread, Rav Moshe says, the bread is already edible. Now, a toaster oven, anyway, is not the same problem, because the only part of it, since a toaster oven has different parts, nobody says you have to be tayvel the whole toaster oven. You just have to be tayvel the toaster oven tray or rack. And even that is true, only if you put food directly on the rack. If you don't put food directly on a rack, you don't have to be tayvel b'chlal. But all I'm saying is, assuming you do, Ramesh's heter of a toaster does not apply to a toaster oven. Because in a toaster, you only put in bread. In a toaster oven, you might put in a hamburger patty, raw meat, let's say, a raw fish that's not edible. And this is a kli that is machshir it liachila. So b'chiyah gavni, you'd have b'taivo. Masha'en came like the heterim of mishamesh b'mechubar, you know, then you're plugging it in, etc.
Even if you never use it for that type of use?
So that would depend. I mean, if you never use it for anything but that, but as I say, there is a svara if people do use it for that.
Why should any fork and spoon or knife need a...
No, the answer...
Ready.
No, you're right. But the answer is, Rav Moshe, see, the term that's used in halacha is kli suda. So kli suda has two different definitions. And Rav Moshe's rule is only applying to one of those definitions. The kalim that you use while you are eating, are definitionally kli suda, even though the food is totally roi liachila. Rav Moshe is not going on that definition of kli suda. There's a second definition of kli suda, and that is kalim that make food roi liachila. That's the cooking part of it. On that, Rav Moshe says, if it's already roi liachila, it's not a kli suda in that way. So it's important that there are two different definitions. He is only qualifying the second definition.
Be who are in a pot which used cooked carrots and onions, things like that. They're also roi liachila.
Yeah, that's correct. According to Rav Moshe, again, depending on whether we look at your individual shemesh or the general way. But you're right. According to Rav Moshe, it would turn out that a pot that you only cook edible raw vegetables, even though you cook them, would be like a toaster. That's correct. Masha'en Kane, if you cook raw potatoes or raw meat, that would be a chiyuv, that would be a kli suda. Yeah.
It's
moistive
to them.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I think Rav Moshe's kula is not makubal by many pasukim. Many pasukim say that even if something's roi liachila, if the ishtamshus of the kli is improving it in a significant way, and obviously it is, because you want hot water and you want toast. So to say, oh, it's not contributing anything because it's already roi liachila, so many achrayim, many contemporary paiskim dingzach, I mean, Rabbi Yashu, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, did not agree with Rav Moshe. The eighth that they gave was to be makne the toaster to a guy or something.
He'd be
yeah.
Cool.
Yep. If it's kli mateches, it's a chiv tefila d'oraisa. So it's a suffix d'oraisa. I can never tell you not to be samech and Rav Moshe. That's not yitachin. I mean, I certainly cannot tell you that. But it would be, you know, the minhag is actually to be tayvel.
Someone who's not sefer, someone who's not machmir, it doesn't get the mishas chumras, wouldn't be correct to go with this.
Well, you know, it's not usher actually. In other words, the Gemara itself says that when the Gemara says you can't go like the chumras and the kulas, but the Gemara says that's only when they're tarki disasri. When a kula is machayev a chumra, you can't go with the kula. You can't go with both kulas. But if it's two separate dinim, you are allowed to follow kula.
Even by something derisive, something like this. The Rebbe Kala, by Jabbanans, you can go halicha chamikul, isn't there a kala like that?
Well, the question is, we don't necessarily go that way with a machlokes of achreinim that are shokol. I mean, there are klolim and how a paisik is machriya halacha, but if lemaisa, you have gedalei a paiskim that are some are mekel, some are machmir. So you have rishus to follow the mekel even on a daraisa.
It's not considered
a safek daraisa. No, you can't take it. See, the reason why you can't call it safek daraisa because Rav Meisher didn't hold it was a safek. In other words, I'm a subject because I have a chisar in yediya. I don't know how to be machriya. But you can't call it a bona fide suffek ben atayra because the paiskim that are makilim don't consider it to be a suffek. Rav Meisher was machriya lakula. Which, by the way, that itself shows you the remarkable, they say, break the plexus. Of course, this is only a small example. Rav Meisher did many, many more daring things than this. But it shows that, you know, it would be easy to say, well, so machlokes the poskim, so it's a suffek deraisa, you got to be machmir. Rav Meisher said, no, it's not a suffek. He says, it's a darer pashut, and he's mekel. This is the kayach of not being afraid to be mekel on what you might call the suffek deraisa.
So that wouldn't be
called
going like a dasi achid? To go like Rav Meisher, even if he is a dasi, it wouldn't
it would not be. I mean, it's not, you know, what do they say? This is an afghmin, but this is an afghmin, whether they're between the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan. The Mishnah Berurah was, although Mishnah Berurah is a tremendously deep work, people don't appreciate the Amkus and the Yegiya B'Toira in every single halacha. You go in the Ber Halacha, Chabbis Chaim went through every sugya with such aimek and ian. But when push comes to shove, the Mishnah Berurah ultimately was miyarei hayra. The Mishnah Berurah did not like the Paskin. And the Mishnah Berurah often goes to great lengths to give you an eifen to be yaitzei as many deyas as a shaykh. In fact, part of the complication of the Mishnah Berurah is that he'll give you a lot of sheets, so do this and do this and do this, and that way you're yaitzei this and this and this and this and this. Because the Mishnah Berurah did not want to be in a position that much where he would be machriya, like one paisek, over another paisek. That's why he's always giving you an eitza, because he can't always do it, sometimes it's not possible. But whenever it's possible, he tries to give you an eitza to be yaitzei all of the dais. That's the mahalach of the Mishnah Berurah. The Aruch HaShulchan didn't have that problem. The Aruch HaShulchan says, machlekes magen Avraham and taz, magen Avraham is right, taz is wrong. That's it, weiter, next sif. The Aruch HaShulchan just is machriya. So when people say the Aruch HaShulchan is mekel, that's not always true. Sometimes he's machriya. It's not always true that he's mekel. But there are two things that he does that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like to do. One is that he will use the minhag of people as a machriya. That the Mishnah Berurah tries to be machriya halacha from makairis, from paiskin. And if people are doing something differently, that doesn't count. The Aruch HaShulchan was machshiv more the minhagim that people were doing. That's one thing. And the second thing is that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like to be machriya like some against others. He wants you to be yaitzei everything. And the Aruch HaShulchan was willing to be machriya. And again, that's why people say, you know, it's all complicated thing about who should be considered the paisek achron. People say in Lita, before the Second World War, the Aruch HaShulchan was mekobel as the paisek, and the Mishnah Berurah was not. People would say, the way people described it is, the Mishnah Berurah was written by the Tzadik Hador, and the Aruch HaShulchan was written by the paisek Hador, and the Tzadik Hador shouldn't necessarily be the paisek Hador. This is what was said. Now, what happened was after the war, what happened after the war, for various reasons, the Mishnah Berurah became more mekubal as the paisek. A lot of it was the hashpah of the Chazon Ish, who considered the Mishnah Berurah to be a chelik of the Mesira of Torah Shebaal Peh, and also Rav Aaron Cutler in America. Rav Aaron Cutler, you may notice, and some people say it was deliberate, at every chasna, every picture of Rav Aaron Cutler, he's always conspicuously holding a Mishnah Berurah.
Didn't Rav
Chaim Weizer
say that
the time
is basic
Akron? I'm not sure. I don't want to say no. The Chazon Ish said it for sure. I'm not sure if Rav Chaim Weizer said it.
Is there a place Mishnah Berurah and Aruch HaShulchan is better to be machriya like another Mishnah Berurah?
You know, it's not for me to say. The minhag in the Olam HaYeshivos, especially in Eretz Yisrael, but even largely in America, is to go with the Mishnah Berurah. That's all I can tell you. Now, historically, that had not been the case. That much is true. Today, it is the case. It could also be the fact that because, not because we're a better dor, but fakert, we're a shivacher dor. And when the derisks are lower, we need to have more yiras shemayim. So we have to be more more machmer in some minyanim. That's all I can tell you. I'm just reporting. I don't want to be machmir.
Someone told me, I don't know if it's true, before the war, no one was machmer on the zman kishma of the Magna Rum. Like the grow was much more makubal.
Okay. Could be. But now.
No, sorry, almost everyone tries. That.
Yes, for sure. And that's a shalav of the Raisa. That's a shalav of the Raisa. Wow. Okay. All right, have a good time.